pray together. Lord, thank you for your holy word this morning, and we pray to you, Lord, that you would speak to us through it. Touch our hearts and touch our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Good, well, good morning. And today we're looking at Jonah and chapter 2. And you'll remember in chapter 1 that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, son of Amittai. And he says, go to Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. And so Jonah doesn't want to. And instead of going to Nineveh, which is in modern-day Iraq, he heads off to Tarshish, which is probably in modern-day Spain. It's always a good place to go. And, you know, Jonah gets in a boat, he gets in a storm, and he's thrown into the sea, and he's swallowed by a big fish. And chapter 2 is all about what happens inside the fish. And interesting, some of the most significant things, certainly in my life, maybe in yours spiritually, happen to us not when we're with a crowd, or we're doing great things, but when we're alone, maybe when we're struggling, maybe we're in a hospital bed, or lying awake at night, or on our knees in prayer. So it was with Jesus in the desert, so it was with Jesus in the garden, so it is with Jonah in the fish. For him, it's a time of truth, it's a time of meeting with God, and it's a time to give thanks. Chapter 2 is a prayer. It's a prayer of thanksgiving in the form of a psalm. So that's what we're looking at. It's in our Bibles. If you want to keep track of where we're going, that's good. So, first thing I want to say is that you can pray anywhere and at any time. Verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He wasn't in church. He wasn't doing his morning devotionals. It wasn't before a meal. It wasn't Wednesday prayer evening. He was inside a fish. He was on his own. It was dark. And there wasn't much else to do. He didn't have his mobile phone. There was no internet connection. It was a good place to pray. And, you know, doesn't Jesus say something similar? He says, you know, when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and your heavenly Father, who is unseen, will hear you. We've been doing the outreach on the Rufford estate, and I slept in the tent on Thursday evening. It's a bit like being inside a big fish, actually, at night with all the noises and the wind. And it's a good place to pray. And there were a couple of lads on their bikes came up, and it was a little bit, I was getting a little bit nervous, you know, they were kind of wandering around at 11 o'clock at night. But that's a good place. I did some praying. God can hear us anywhere. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by time. When we're at home, when we're at work, when we're in the garden, when we're in the car, God is not deaf. Corrie ten Boom, many of you know, heard of Corrie ten Boom. She writes of the many times in a concentration camp when it seems things couldn't get any worse. She prayed, her sister prayed, to show that God is even in the darkest place. There's no place too dark for God, the psalmist says. He says, even though I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me. So Jonah prays to the Lord from inside the fish. I wonder how our personal prayers are going. How my personal prayers are going. Are we being strengthened and growing by spending time with God? Are we meeting with God? Are we knowing that God is close to us and real to us? This is what Jonah does, the first thing. The second thing that I see here, you can pray anytime, anywhere, but it's never too late to pray. It's never too late to pray. Think about Jonah. Jonah's on the run. He's running away from God. He's running away from God's call. God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah heads off to Tarshish. And actually, ever since Jonah has started to run, things have gone downhill for him. Literally, you don't always see it in our English Bibles, but Jonah lives in the hill country. I mean, if you just trace his kind of journey through, he says he goes down to Joppa. And from Joppa, he goes down into a boat, and then he goes down below the deck. Then when he's thrown overboard, he goes down into the sea. And you carry on looking at the story, get to verse chapter 2, verse 6. He says, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down." It's kind of this huge descent, and we have to understand a little bit about the Israelite view of the world, that there were heavens, that there was the earth, there was the sea, and there was the underworld. There was Sheol, or the pit, all sorts of words for that. And that wasn't a nice place. That was a gloomy place. Kind of, some people think of it as a dungeon, a place of separation. And Jonah kind of has come all the way down. And verse 7, he says, "My life was ebbing away." He was nearly drowned. It started there, he was a prophet, and it ended up at the very gates of the underworld. And, you know, is that where it's going to end for him? You know, prophet of God? This place to await judgment. It's a terrifying descent, and he describes it, verses 3 and 5, he says he went through swirling waters, seaweed wrapped around his head. You know, one more step, it's kind of over, that's it. It's in a dangerous place. And there can be times in life when we're a bit like Jonah. I certainly know that. There's a poet, I don't know if you heard of Francis Thompson. Francis Thompson was born in Lancashire in 1959. He was a middle class man who, his dad was a doctor, wanted him to be a doctor. He started out being a doctor. He went to Owens College. But he hated being a doctor. He just didn't want to do it. That was his dad's dream. It wasn't his dream. And so he evaded it. He started off and then he just disappeared. And he went to London. He spent 3 years there in a life of destitution and incipient disease. He became a book-selling agent. He worked at a shoemaker's. Then he became a wanderer in London streets. He earned a few pence by selling matches, and famished, cold, receiving alms. And he wrote a poem later on. I mean, his life was quite interesting. He started as a doctor, he ended up on the streets, and then, you know, someone took pity on him, took him in, and he became quite a well-known poet. But he said this, he wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven. You might have heard it, and he said, it begins like this. It says, "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinth in ways of my own mind and in the midst of tears. I hid from him and under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped and shot precipitated down titanic glooms of cavern fears from those strong feet that followed after." Poem's a very long poem, Hound of Heaven. If you want to read it at home, it's a great poem. He just goes on and talks about how God pursues him. And that's what God is doing with Jonah. And Jonah said, no, God is saying, well, we will see. And then it says in verse 2, it says, "From the depths of the grave I called for help." Verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." You know, Jonah has gone all the way down. The first thing to rise is his prayer. "My prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." It's never too late to pray. Jonah's prayer went up. It rose to God. While we're still alive, God's ear will always be open. God's still there to rescue him and redeem. God is slow to anger and abounding in love. When I was a child, we used to sing this hymn in a church we went to. It says, you might know, it says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me." God was there. It's never too late. God is there to hear us. So that's the second thing I see in this chapter. And then a question is about how to pray. You know, it's good to pray. It's good for us to pray. God hears our prayers. He asks us to pray. But how? Sometimes we don't quite know. Sometimes we don't have the words, do we? Even Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray. And on the one hand, it's very easy to pray. It's just talking to God. But on the other hand, sometimes it's very difficult. I mean, we can be too tired or too emotional, or we just don't know what to pray. Sometimes the situation seems too big or too complex, or it's just too difficult. And Jonah's prayer, I think, gives us some help. Just looking at it carefully. You know, sometimes we think when we're in distress, our prayers have to be spontaneous. And that's great. You know, God help. I'm in trouble. God help. But actually, the prayer here is a psalm. And it's actually a psalm of thanksgiving. There are all sorts of psalms in the Bible. There are psalms of lament and psalms of praise. This is a psalm, and it fits the form of a psalm of thanksgiving. It has a very regular structure. It talks about the need for rescue. It talks about the misery. It talks about the appeal. It talks about how he's been rescued. And then there's a kind of thanksgiving section at the end where you promise to do it. It's that form of a psalm. And sometimes having something that is structured that we know is very helpful. Sometimes when we're really struggling, turning to something that is there for us can help. And this is what Jonah, in a sense, does. He knows the Psalms. He's sung them. He's learnt them. When the time of trial comes, he's able to use something that he knows. He doesn't have to make it up, although this is his real prayer. The form is a psalm of thanksgiving. And he doesn't choose a psalm of lament. He could have said, this is terrible, God, what happened here? He actually chooses a psalm of praise. And he's saying, God is the one who's rescued me. He is showing in the way that the Israelites would have done in his day that he was grateful to God. He was alive, though he didn't deserve to be. He'd experienced the grace of God. And I think it's good in our lives to think of what's the place of learning scripture by heart. Learning some key verses. You know, the Holy Spirit can use things that we learn when we're in times of trouble. He can use those things to help us and strengthen us. I even get my daughter Hannah, we sometimes talk about learning scripture. She started to learn bits of Matthew chapter 6. It's just so nice to hear and think, this is something that is there for life now. You know, when times of trouble come, she can say, don't be anxious. Look at the birds of the air. God made them. You know, seek first his kingdom. Trust in God. Things there get into our lives at a deep level that when trouble comes, we can use them. And I can see this here with Jonah. This is a form of prayer that he knew. You know, when we pray, we can use the book of Psalms. God has given us an amazing resource. If we don't know how to pray, sometimes we can turn to the Psalms and read the Psalms, and the words become our words, and the words of, you know, maybe trouble become our words of trouble, and the words of praise. And, you know, maybe use that. Don't tell Simon this, but I've got two of the prayer cards at home. I keep them there in a drawer. And I just find sometimes in my morning prayers or evening, sometimes it's good just to go through the prayer card. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray a prayer of confession. I think we see that in Jonah. Here it's a form of prayer. It's a praise psalm that helps him when a crisis comes. What about writing a psalm ourselves? I wonder if you've ever done that at home. We've sat down, we've got a pen, we've written a psalm to God of praise or prayer. And then finally, that's a bit about prayer in the chapter. Finally, what about Jonah's God? You know, we thought about Jonah's prayer. What about his God? Praying is important, but who we pray to is even more important. There's all sorts of things we learn about God. Verse 2 says, he answered me. He listened to my cry. You know, what a great thing it is to have a God who is all-powerful, who listens to us. You know, we live in a generation where people don't listen well, but God listens. He really listens. We're not ignored Verse 6 says about God, he says, "But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." Remember, Jonah was right there, right at the very brink. And he says, "God, you brought my life back from that place." I don't know if you've ever been in a pit. I've never been in a pit, but I remember my dad telling me about going potholing. You know what potholing is? Going in a little narrow cave underground where it's dark. I don't think I'd like that. And you go exploring with little, they didn't have lamps in those days. But he went down a place called Swildon's Hole, a notorious place in Somerset, with a group of friends, you know, a long time ago. And they went down through these small caves, the water was running, then they went down a big kind of a drop and they got to the bottom. There's an underground waterfall, and they had decided it's far enough to go, and so he was the last in the line, and they all went out, they climbed up, you needed people with a rope to get up there, and they thought that he'd come up the rope, and he hadn't. And of course you didn't know who was behind you, so they all went out to the end of the entrance of the cave, and they only then did they discover he wasn't there. And of course these are tunnels and they go everywhere, and so finding someone underground was a difficult thing. My dad was sitting at the bottom of a waterfall a long way underground with whatever kind of light he had, and he said after a few minutes his light went out. So he was just there in the dark, and I suppose all sorts of things go through your mind. And he waited and waited, and the others, of course, turned around, and amazingly they found where he was, and they put a rope down, he heard their voices, and then they managed to pull him out. Otherwise I wouldn't have been here today. But you brought my life up from the pit, O God. It's an amazing thing. God is the one who reaches down and saves us. And then verse 9, it says salvation, or it says rescue, comes from the Lord. God is the God who saves. You know, if you walk out on your job, you don't get a second chance. They won't reemploy you. If you're a deserter in the army, they won't take you back. But God's not like that. Jonah has blown it. He's gone the wrong way. He's rebelled. He doesn't want God to tell him what to do. He's got into a mess. He's caused trouble to the sailors. He's wrecked the ship. But when he turns to God, God is full of compassion. He reaches down and he rescues him and he saves him and he gives him a purpose and he gives him a second chance. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son, you know, the well-off boy in the far country wanting to feed pigs, but he can't even do that. And he comes to his senses and he sets out for home. The Bible says, he says, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God doesn't want Jonah to blow it. He doesn't want us to blow it, to wreck our lives, however far we've gone. He gives us the chance to turn to him rather than turn away. Maybe that's something, you know, we need to hear again this morning. The grace of God. He reached down and rescued me. When my life was in the pit, you brought me up. You listened to my cry. Let's not miss out on the grace. Jonah says, those who cling to idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those that keep on running will miss out. But God reaches out to us this morning. So we can turn to him at any time. It's never too late to pray. We can use forms of prayer like the Psalms. And Jonah's God is a God of compassion. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, we do turn to you this morning. However we are, however we feel, we turn to you. Thank you that you're a God who is ready and quick to bless. In Jesus' name, amen.